everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Rumcast. This is the podcast that talks all things rum-related with the people who love and shape it. I'm Will Hookinga, here with your co-host, my co-host, the people's co-host, John Gulla. And John, this is our second time doing second installment of a new episode format that we've been playing around with. You know, for several years now, we've been really steady with the two long episodes a month. Generally, most of them have an interview. Sometimes they don't have an interview and we kind of explore a topic ourselves. But we thought, you know, generally those episodes run, you know, an hour and a half to sometimes over 2 hours. And there's only two of them a month. And we thought, hey, it might be nice to kind of try something a little shorter to throw out there once a month to give, you know, at least a third Rumcast episode out there. It's a little shorter, a little more digestible, a different format. A digestif or an aperitif, maybe.
Aperitif?
It depends on the order.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it depends on the order. That'll vary from month to month which one of those it is. But we introduced this concept back in episode 104, the concept of the semi-blind rum review. And this was sort of our gimmick, I guess I would say, on the typical, you know, gimmick, I think has a negative connotation, but it's a fun gimmick in this case.
It's a shtick.
It's a shtick.
Wait, no, that's negative also.
It's a quirk, we'll say. We wanted to take the idea of a typical rum review and flip it on its head a little, in the sense that we want to do one rum in each of these episodes where one of us knows what it is and has tried it before and is sharing their thoughts kind of based on one past or multiple tastings, and the other of us has no idea what this rum is and is trying it for the very first time and offering their thoughts in real time. So it's kind of capturing the best of both worlds of sometimes it's great to have like a bit of an informed opinion on a rum, like knowing how it was made and everything, but it can also be very valuable to have a completely uninformed and just going off the cuff, not influenced by the bottle, not influenced by the price, just influenced by what it looks like in the glass and how it tastes. So that's what we're doing here. And last time you were very brave. You volunteered to be the first to be the blind half of the equation. You did two rums. We did Transcontinental Rum Line High Seas, and we did Shikara 12-year Thailand rum. So two newish rums that I think a lot of people are eager to try. And so if you missed that, you can go back to episode 104 and catch both of those reviews. In this episode, though, They have turned, and I am the one being the blind taster. So I'm, you know, last time, I don't think I appreciated just, you know, the nerves that you were likely dealing with, because I'm a little nervous here. You know, there's a lot of potential for egg on my face in this little shtick that we have going.
It's not easy, let me tell you. You know, having been there through the gauntlet now once, you really want to try to do your best and like, put forth, a good effort into figuring out what it is, but also just enjoying it and getting your own opinion at the same time, like you said, without having any other knowledge in the equation, which is actually a fun thing. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of nerves, but it's a little bit of fun, and you just kind of see where it goes. And, you know, hopefully, I believe in you, Will. I think you can do well in this. So
I don't know. You did so well coming out of the gate that you really set the standard high. And so I kind of feel like there's nowhere to go but down. I mean, you didn't guess either of them exactly, but you got a lot of key details either right or very much in the ballpark. So the standard has been set, and I just have to try my best not to embarrass myself and embarrass the show as well. Because let's face it, I'm 50% of this thing. If I do something bad, it's going to make you look a little bad too. So I don't know. I don't want to damage the Rumcast brand too much on this episode.
Be in the ballpark, Will. That is a good one. Yes. Don't be in a different city.
All right. Well, we should take a little pause really quickly, just so in post-production we can share the name of this rum that we are about to talk about, so that the listeners will know, but I will not. So this rum is English Harbor 1981 25-year-old rum from Antigua Distillery Limited. Okay, hopefully I paused long enough. I have no idea, you know, how many words, syllables, letters are going to need to go in there. So hopefully it was a big enough pause. But I have my glass right here. And just kind of,
I should mention, I poured it for me also. Just, I think you did the same thing last time.
We've both got to have it on us.
Share in the experience. Yeah.
And I mean, you have to be giving your thoughts throughout this thing too, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's good to have it ready.
So what are you seeing here? What's the first things you're noting?
Well, it looks like a rum of moderate age. You know, it has a kind of a copperish, like a little tinge of redness to it, maybe. I tend to not put a ton of stock into what the color of a rum looks like, but I would say just going off what it looks like, you know, it's a medium-aged rum. It doesn't look like it's spent 2 decades in a barrel or anything. And, you know, I don't want to speak to origin quite yet, but I think with that said, I'm just going to dive right into the nose and see what I'm getting.
Okay.
So a very pleasant nose. This is definitely it noses like a cask-driven rum, I would say. So I'm getting a lot of those cask elements, you know, vanilla, some baking spices, caramel, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like very weirdly reminding. I don't want to see, this is the danger. Sometimes you associate something in your head, like a specific association early on, and it gets stuck in there. But it's reminding me so much of that Shikara rum that you did on the first time we did this.
That would be messed up of me, wouldn't it, if I did that back to you? And you,
yeah,
it
would make for a super boring episode too, because when we released it, it would just be like, hey, we did this same rum again.
But I would get to do evil laughter afterwards. Yeah. But so yeah, it does. You're getting
it has that Thailand kind of nose to it, which one of the things that those Thailand rums remind me of a lot is sherry cask rums. And so that's one of the first places my mind goes, is like, is this a sherry influenced rum? But definitely this it's a very balanced nose. A little bit of like a slightly perfumey thing going on at the end, not in a floral sense. It would be odd for you to send me a sample of a floral rum since we've established you're not a fan. But, you know, I suppose you don't have to be a fan of everything you choose to put forth in these episodes.
I have no limits as to what I sent to you. I definitely thought of all things and didn't keep it into a vein of something I just like or don't like or anything along those lines. I'm pretty open.
And then, you know, a little bit of fruitiness, kind of like some berries going on.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a tea vibe, which is another thing I got from that Thailand rum. So it's a pleasing nose all around. It's a very inviting nose. Would appeal to a lot of people. There's nothing offbeat or really funky or anything like that about it. So I'm already, you know, my mind's going a few different directions. I'm crossing a few things off the list of stuff that I don't think it is, but I think I've done enough with the nose and I'm ready to go in for a taste.
I'm trying so hard just to not say much of anything to give you any indications.
So there's definitely something familiar about this rum, and I'm going to start talking through. I don't want to go to origin yet. Maybe we should start with proof. I could start there. I don't think this is a high ABV rum. Were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say, let's start there with proof, and kind of we have a format we can follow a little bit, and it starts, I think, with proof first. So you said you don't think it's a high ABV rum. Okay.
No, I also don't think it's 80 proof. So I think this is like somewhere around 90 proof. So 45% ABV, 44, 46, somewhere in there perhaps. And I think it drinks appropriately for that. It has, the alcohol is integrated well. It has a decent bit of flavor to it in terms of the impact it makes. So it's not boring by any means. It doesn't really fall flat on the palate. And the palate really delivers on a lot of what's there in the nose.
You mentioned in the nose you thought it was maybe cask driven from the nose. That follows through for you?
It does. I think where my brain is going is I get Latin American vibes from this rum. Not like super duper light column still rum, but also not heavy pot still. So I don't know if that means like maybe it's a single column, you know, a heavy column rum like some of the Latin American distilleries do, or maybe it's one of the Latin American distilleries that also does some pot still rum. I'm not writing that off either, because I do think this has some, you know, kind of some a little bit of a thickness to it. Not super heavy, super oily or anything, but it's not just garden variety light multi column distillate. I'm saying this as if I definitively know. These are all guesses, I could be proven spectacularly wrong, but that's just, you know, the vibe I'm getting right now.
Okay, and so then we have to start talking about an age. You mentioned based on the color, based on some other things, clearly an aged rum, but what are you thinking?
It is, and I think it's significant age. Not super long. I'm getting like 10 years somewhere in there. So that kind of like medium aged, moderately aged rum, where it's starting to get a little bit into the you know, long aged territory, but not quite long aged. I tend to think of that as more like 13, 14 and beyond. I also, it drinks like a tropically aged rum to me. So I'm guessing that this comes from somewhere with a very warm climate. And I'm guessing that it is aged there at origin rather than being aged in Europe or something like that. What do you get from this rum, just in terms of, you know, notes, anything stick out to you about it?
So I think you kind of hit a little bit of it on the head with the Thailand comparison, because I can definitely see that. Like you mentioned, this is kind of a quintessential aged rum for me in terms of, okay, what are the classics that you think of? You mentioned them already, you know, of that kind of influence of vanilla and some of the other things that you find in there. I don't find it particularly lovely in the sense of like, man, there's something here that I just love and want to keep going back to. I kind of feel like it's like, okay, what it's doing is on point, but it's just kind of there. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it's a simple palate that isn't mm-hmm. lacking in complexity, but it is not mm-hmm. super evolving, very dense, very complex. It's approachable, but still interesting enough to where if you're a rum enthusiast and you like stuff that's not just 1,000% straightforward, you can still find some interesting qualities here. But yeah, very oak driven, you know, vanilla, caramel on the palate, a little bit of those fruits that I mentioned, kind of like a graham cracker thing going on. And there's some sort of influence in here that I can't quite, you know, I was thinking maybe sherry the first time when I was nosing it. I'm kind of going away from that now. There is a little bit of a nuttiness there, but on the palate, it expresses itself differently, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but something is making me feel that maybe there is some sort of not just standard ex-bourbon casks going on.
Yeah. So let's start talking a little bit more specific.
You're gonna grill me now, huh?
Yeah, and you've kind of mentioned where you think you're at with proof and age. You're saying around the 45%-ish area. You're saying around 10 years or so. Pretty safe guesses, I have to say. So now I'm going to stick you with it. Where is this rum made? Country of origin.
All right. So I've been saying Latin America. I'm thinking less islands like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and I'm more thinking South America, Colombia, Panama, Venezuela. Actually, maybe it is Venezuela. Like, maybe that's where I'm getting... I know they've got some pot stills there between Diplomatico and Santa Teresa. I know they've both got some pot stills. So my brain's kind of going there. So yeah, I'll say Venezuela for the country of origin. That feels like an appropriate guess. It might not be exact, but I feel like hopefully people can see the logic when the rum is revealed, which has already been revealed to the listeners. So hopefully I will see the logic when it is revealed.
They're all either very impressed right now or absolutely laughing about it. So I think I see where you're going with the thought and the logic of like a Venezuelan aged rum. And when we think of those, I see where your brain is going with this. Even knowing what it is, I actually really make that connection. And I think it's astute. So
wait, so are you just telling me, kudos. Did you just tell me that I'm wrong?
I didn't tell you you're right or wrong.
That's a very cryptic comment to give me. Okay, what do we have left to guess? Is it final guess time? I feel like I have enough data now at this point.
One more thing. If you were going to pay a price for this rum, actually, it's less of that question and more of what do you think this is being sold for? Right.
There's a little bit of a metallic-y taste that I get to it too. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of like mm-hmm. coppery, sort of like pennies. Mm-hmm. Something reminds mm-hmm. me of that.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, as far as price goes, I would guess this is a mid-market rum. I don't think this is like introductory price, you know, $20 to $30 rum. This strikes me as something that's maybe marked up a little bit, is maybe a medium premium offering from wherever it comes from. So mm-hmm. I would guess like $60. This strikes me as the type of rum that probably sells for $60, but that I wish sold for like $45, because mm-hmm. $60 feels a little bit steep for paying mm-hmm. for this to me, just mm-hmm. because it's quality, and I think this would be appealing to a lot of people, but it's also very much in a wheelhouse. What it gives you, you can find approximations of from a lot of other rums that are out there, I think. But yeah. It does, I don't know, that hint of secondary aging or something, it's got that little something different, a little twist on it that makes me feel like it's probably a medium premium offering from whoever it comes from.
Okay. So with all that said, now I'm going to hold you to your final guess.
All right.
With it. What's your final guess on what this rum is?
I'm going to guess it's a 10-year-old Venezuelan rum that is around $60. Is that specific enough?
And proof you're sticking with where you were at?
Oh, yeah. I'll say 45. Yeah, 45%. Okay. 90 proof.
I think I'm going to... we can keep it there. You know, we could keep going. I could grill you on what type of, you know, still you think it was made on and
some of the other things. Well, I'll also say this is obviously a molasses-based rum. I'll say
that. Oh, we forgot about that. Yes, thank you.
Clearly a molasses-based rum. I mean, if I'm wrong on that, I'm going to be really annoyed. But it has all the hallmarks of a molasses rum. And I think that's probably clear in the way I was describing it. And I'm really waffling on still. I'm going to say that it's column still, but maybe with some pot component as well. So sitting right on the fence there.
I was going to say you're smack in the middle of a lot of things here. All right, so you ready for the reveal for this?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I want to cover my eyes.
Still,
we will be publishing this on YouTube so you could see the bottle reveal as I'm about to see it now.
Well, so as I'm revealing it, before I reveal it, I will say that this was from a large sample that was provided to us. I don't have the original bottle, but there's a reason.
Oh, okay.
There's a reason. And so the nice thing, though, is that the label on it, it's pretty clear. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Here it comes. Do you see those big numbers there?
Oh, wow. Oh, tell the people
there
what this
go.
Is, John.
So it is English Harbor, 1981. This is a 25-year-old distilled, 1981, bottled in September of 2006 from Antigua Distillery Limited. So
Antigua. Wow.
Yes.
Got
I
my
say
ass.
Antigua, but it's Antigua. Yes. Yes. So that's a tough one, I have to say. First of all, I'm going to give you credit because I think everywhere you went with it, I would have gone a similar place. Well, I have to be honest.
And yeah, Antigua is tricky because it has a lot of the hallmarks of the sort of Latin American style.
It does.
Column still, but I feel like it's not usually kind of lumped in. It's more associated with sort of English style rums. Maybe that's just because of the English Harbor brand,
English
though.
Harbor
I don't
name.
Know.
Yeah.
But wow. Okay. I remember. This was a while ago that you texted me about, like, hey, we have an opportunity to buy a sample, a sizable chunk of a bottle of this. And I was like, sure, yeah, let's do it. I mean, this was like 8 months ago
Six
or
months
something.
Ago,
so this was
ago.
Totally
yeah, yeah.
out of my mind. And yeah, okay, so give us some of the specs on this. Obviously, I was right. way off on the age. You said 25 years old. That's amazing to
years.
Me because this was aged at origin, right?
I believe so. So the part of the issue is, even though I did research a lot on this, there's some questions about it. So not everything is well known, like some of the more recent released rums. This one's been on the market for a while. This is not, you know, a real new release here. But so let me go through some of the stats. So it is, even though I believe you said you didn't think it was a 40%, it is a 40% ABV rum.
Okay. So, well, I feel a little less bad about that, though, because being a 25-year-old aged rum,
yes.
even at lower ABV, you tend to get very powerful flavors, even
totally
at 80
agree.
Proof, for a well, very long aged rum like that. So
yep.
that makes sense a little bit, but that is very impressive for 80 proof.
It is. I think that's what it does well, and I would have guessed very similar to you in terms of its ABV being higher than 40, because it does have a good amount of flavor in there. It's not a weak rum. The age being 25, as we talked about, the country of origin, obviously it's Antigua. The price on this one.
Oh, I was way
any
off
venture
there.
On the price.
I mean, this is what, like a $300-$400 bottle, something like that.
So it initially came out on the market a few years ago for £150.
Oh, okay.
So that's like what, $180, $175
yeah,
bucks, something
that.
Like
yeah.
that. So not terrible. Nowadays, obviously, on the secondary market, it's $500 to $1,600 in some cases for a bottle of this.
It's funny. As soon as I started thinking about the age, I went back for another sip, and like the first thing that popped into my mind was like prunes, raisins, and like, you know, that's sort of like stuff that you get from an older rum. It's like my brain was open to tasting those now, or maybe it's just the power of suggestion. I don't know. But wow, yeah.
when you said this reminded you of, like, and you actually went with the guess of Venezuela, I was like, yes, Santa Teresa, I could see as kind of a weird cognate for this.
Yeah.
In a weird, odd way. But when you said it, that flashed into my mind also of like, huh, I almost want to try it back to back and see how close it is.
It definitely doesn't have the weird, musty Santa Teresa note, though.
No, it's better than that. This I like more than that.
There's a little bit of like a spearmint note I'm getting from it now as well.
You said copper also, which I get.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking another sip, and I do like the rum. So, you know, knowing what it is and having tasted it, I don't feel like I let the age get the better of me in terms of like expectation and, you know, that I was going to say, okay, this is going to be awesome. It's 25 years old. I just went into it and said, let me see what this is about.
Yeah.
Also, knowing it was 40% ABV, I knew that it would probably be a little weaker than I usually enjoy.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm pleasantly surprised by this. I think it is a good rum, but I also, we can't go too much further here without talking about the debate.
The debate.
And there's a little debate online about whether or not there's additives in this rum.
Ooh, really?
It's unclear. But there are certainly people saying that this has been altered or sweetened, or maybe it's just a little bit of caramel. Which would be odd to age something for 25 years, unless they did that 25 years ago. You know, it wasn't for color, right? So yeah. Kind of could see it because it is a little on the sweet tingy side for me.
It is. It's a little sweet, but you know, going through it, the thought of it being possibly sweetened never entered my mind until you brought it up. So I would say if it is sweetened, it's probably not very much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could kind of see it because it's on the sweeter side of what I would expect from a rum with no additives.
Right. I kind of call it balanced because there's definitely some, you get some pop and some spice in it also. It's not like one of those saccharin type of sweetened rums that we've, you know, kind of talked about. It's definitely nice. I would drink this. Again, somebody gave this to me blind. I wouldn't have said it's a sweetened rum immediately. Mm-hmm. So
I would think at this price, I think you're paying a premium for exclusivity and rarity on the rum.
Right.
I don't think just in a vacuum I would pay that much for this rum just as it is, but I do like English Harbor rums. And so if I was someone who was a fan of the distillery, I think you could, you know, buy this rum for what it originally came out at and you wouldn't be disappointed in it. It's a good rum. It's just, you know, it has me wanting to try a little bit more of their more experimental stuff to see what those are like, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, fun first blind experience for me on the Rumcast Semi-Blind Rum Reviews. And I'd love to know anyone out there who has tried this rum, your thoughts on it. And if you think my guesses were ridiculous based on it, that would be good to know. So don't hold back. Send us an email, host@rumcast.com, host@rumcast.com. As always, you can also find us on social media. John, where can they find us?
At the Rumcast at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get us there. You can tell Will he did an admirable job in this case. I think he did pretty well.
Very generous.
Find us there. Give us a talk back on it to let us know. Especially, this is a harder rum to source, but if you've had it, we want to know.
And let us know what you think of the episode format, what we could do differently, if you like it, if you want to see more. We've got a few more in the pipeline that we're going to release. You know, you got to give it a chance to get out there and breathe a little bit, but we'd love to hear any feedback you have on it. And also go on YouTube if you want to see my face in real time when John reveals this rum to me. And yeah, enjoy that there. John, we'll be back with more Semi-Blind rum reviews soon. Cheers.